Welcome to our witch trial season.
Yep, we're starting our second week now, so hopefully you've already caught up on the first week. If not, it's easy to go back. We've got a couple of episodes on Patreon and a free one as well. We've already covered the history of the witch trials, and then I looked into the individual case that was the Salem trials. So, yeah, so now that we're into our second week, I thought I'd kick it off with the science behind witches and witchcraft. Now, I think this is a big part of witchcraft. Some people might think it's a bit controversial because it takes away from the magic of witches.
No, but like I said, I think they go together.
They do work hand in hand, and it's very important. But I also think this explains why they were so misunderstood back when we had the trials. Which is why I think it's important to look at the sciencey side. Plus, it's only fair to look at it as a whole.
Yes.
So you might not agree with what I have to say. You might like it to be all magic-y, but I don't think all of it is quite... Not that it's not magic, but not magic in the sense of what you would traditionally think of with magic, I think. Not explain and disprove, but I bring it a bit more into the real life, if that makes sense. It takes away, I think, a lot of the superstition, I think.
Okay.
So, I'll crack on with it.
Yes.
Now, one of the best known accusations against witches was the ability to fly. And it was claimed they flew in order to attend a Sabbath held by the devil. All sorts of mischief were said to happen at these gatherings, including the attendants, which was the witches, riding flying goats, trampling the cross, being re-baptised by the devil whilst giving their clothes to him, kissing his behind and dancing back to back.
Yes, some of these I came across. Is this where you're going to tell me some facts? Because I have the one that I want to tell you, but well, I think you might tell me.
Well, no, you go in with the facts.
It relates to the broom.
Okay, you can go in with it.
Okay, in the 17th century, I believe, that obviously... sex toys were prohibited.
Yes.
And the way that women would help themselves...
Pleasure themselves.
Pleasure themselves, thank you. They would get the top of a broom handle.
Oh.
And then basically make a wooden dildo.
I mean, that's quite a good idea.
And this is kind of linked to... That's the devil penis, and that's where it comes from, that they ride the broom.
Oh, I didn't actually. Oh, you didn't? This. No.
I thought this
but
is what
makes sense.
Say. That's why. I thought this is what you were going to say.
No, this was not the angle I thought you were going with.
So this is the whole thing of like women's like riding a broom. It's essentially they're riding the devil's dick. That's okay. What it is.
I quite like this, to be fair. Yeah. I quite like that. We're going with that. That's what
so
it is.
Basically, sex toys were prohibited for women.
Obviously.
And then we made do because... we're resourceful.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming men came along and was like, that's the devil's penis, you're a witch.
What it was is a limp man couldn't do that. So then his wife got a broomstick. He's like, she's a witch.
Also, I don't know if it was like, did they use the whole broom or did they chop a little bit off?
No, it's got to be the end, like the rounded bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously. But did they like cut that bit off? Or did they just keep using the broom?
I don't know, but I also feel like if you're not too careful with it, it could go back to Vlad's the Impaler sort of episode and torture methods, and it could get a bit nasty.
And I'm thinking a bit like splinters as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to not sand it. Is it sand it? Yeah, sand it. Then you've got to give it some sort of coating, haven't you?
Yeah.
I don't think I want splinters in my vagina.
So that was my fact.
Okay, well, this took a drastically different turn at the beginning.
I thought this
was not what I picked up, but I'm very impressed that you have brought it up, Natasha. I am pleased, you heathen, you devil worshipper. So, see, that's what it was. I was good all along, and Natasha just keeps corrupting me. But no, anyway, back to the case. After we've been kissing the devil's ass. Many much more modern stereotypes about witches in history still mention these naked dancing orgies, but most of these records were taken from a period in which witch trials were at their height, and often quoted from those who had never witnessed nor taken part in these gatherings. And so basically it's likely that it was a lot of propaganda against witches. But the belief that witches can fly with the aid of a broomstick or a goat is still popular. So then I had to look into, are they actually flying and can they fly? And the answer is no, unfortunately. Well, probably not.
I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
It's my imagination when I was a kid. But there's a church near this park near when you're on your way into town. And it was Halloween night. So obviously I got it in my head that like witches were flying around.
Ooh.
So I believed I saw a witch flying across the moon.
I quite like that. I'm going to sneeze.
Emily just sneezed. So in my head, I was like, okay, they're real. But for some, I don't know why. It's just really, I just thought there's going to be a witch flying across the room at the moon. And there was in my head.
Oh,
so I'm like, they're real.
It was probably a bird.
No, it's probably
a shadow.
It's probably just my imagination. But I think it might have been like the steeple of the church and there was something on top of the church. So it looked like
where the cockerel was. Maybe it had a witchy on and that's
maybe,
what it was.
Maybe that's what it was. Because every time I go past that church, I'm like, oh, that's where I saw the witch.
Maybe you did. Mm-hmm. Just missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong about the whole science side. But yes. So unfortunately, I don't think they were flying. Or at least they're probably not. So rather than being witnessed physically flying, witches captured were said to be observed using a flying ointment. Now,
okay.
This flying ointment was made up of a variety... is made up of a variety... Oh my God.
You said it right.
I did say it right. Of psychoactive plants that would cause the sensation of flying. But this wasn't a new thing. A green salve is mentioned all the way back from a Roman tale in the 2nd century. In this, witches use an ointment to transform herself into an owl. There were also scripts of Queen Hera in 800 BC using a mixture called the ointment of ambrosia to fly to Olympus.
Hold on. You says it gives the feeling of flying.
Yeah, so like a hallucinogenic.
How does that feel?
I'm going to explain.
Okay.
It's okay, I'll carry on. Right. These ointments were typically made from a base of fat or oil and then darkened with soot and may have contained poisons such as deadly nightshade, mandrake, datura, henbane, wolfsbane and hemlock. All of these plants grew in Europe and so would have been easy to get your hands on. It's worth noting that two of the previously mentioned plants, wolfsbane and deadly nightshade, disrupt the rhythm of your heart, but most importantly can cause a sensation of falling through space. So it was proposed that a combination of these plants would mimic the sensation or feeling of flying. So you feel a bit like you're floating, but also, I mean, I haven't ever done drugs or hallucinogenic plants, so I don't know, but this is what I imagine from texts that I can get. It's sort of a thing like you feel like you're falling through, but there's times when you stop, but some people also feel like they're being propelled forward. So it's more from the person, they feel like they're on the broomstick, they're like flying through a bit of space and time, if that makes sense. I think so, it's hard because we haven't done well.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
throw you out of the way, you haven't been doing hallucinogenic plants.
So what you're saying is we need to do some drugs to experience.
Yeah,
okay,
to make this a fair trial. So there was experiments done, you'll be pleased to know.
Ooh.
In the early 1900s, a German folklorist, Dr. Puckett. Okay, we're going with Puckett. Okay, Dr. Puckett. Thinking of the Pooks.
That's what I thought.
Okay, Dr. Puckett put this to the test, experimenting with a mixture of soot, plants and fat. He claimed to experience the previously stated sensations firsthand. In his writings, he wrote, "We experienced in dreams, first wild and yet restricted, a tumult of an annual fairground and finally progressed to an erotic listlessness," which is basically a lack of regards and moral restraints. So you start with your sort of feeling a bit floaty and funny like you're in a dream. And then it gets a bit weird, like you're feeling like you're restricted, or it goes back to the whole being propelled forward through space.
Do you rub it on your body or you take it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a mixture. Most of them you could rub in, but some you could actually take.
So what is it? Fat? We could easily do this.
Yeah, I know. Make it. Either a fat or an oil base, then a soot, I presume, to darken it, and then a variety of poisonous plants.
So basically we need a girls' night.
Yeah.
And rubble. Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, that's exactly what we need. But yeah, then I liked how he put about the annual fairground. So I feel like that's the whole, you know, when people talk about like the whole like room spinning sort of thing. That's what I feel like he gets from this. And then eventually your morals become loose because you're a bit out of control. Which I suppose if you want to link back to the witchcraft, you could
links into the orgies and stuff. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I kind of get where this is coming from. I think he kind of makes sense.
So are you saying that these orgies happen? Because in my mind, I thought they were all made up.
I sort of get onto that. Some of them, some people saying they are and they aren't for a variety of
like
reasons.
Maybe in like the Victorian era when like it's more like Gatsby type parties, I can see them being orgies. Do I see 16th century having orgies? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the French. I don't know.
I think it is, as I get onto it, some of it is a lot of what women said. So I feel like they would have had to have some experience of this at some point to be able to recall it. But I think a lot of it is recollections of things that have happened previously. And I'll kind of go into that a little bit. So then this obviously brings me on to the next part of, I'm going to go back to the flying, but I need to morph in the animals included this, because a lot of the animals are part of the flying, including like flying goats and things like that. So it brings me on to the whole thing of, can they morph into animals? Now, the toxins contained in the nightshade family can produce the sensation of turning or morphing into other animals, which is something witches can apparently do.
How does that feel?
I don't know. Is it the same as being propelled into something else? I don't know. Do you feel like, maybe look down at your hands and they feel like really distorted, so you think like...
It's a hoof.
Yeah, maybe.
So and then you're like, touching yourself.
I'm hairy.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's where, the werewolf trials that we did. Oh. Like, they look down, the hand looks a bit hairy. They've got hairy knuckles, but the hands are distorted. They're like, oh my God, I'm turning into a werewolf.
To be fair, some men are like
quite hairy, yeah.
Creepily hairy.
Yeah, and maybe they just didn't notice until they took these hallucinogenic drugs.
Or like you won't notice until it's like covered in balm, where it's like really thick and greasy. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, I'm turning into a beast.
I don't know, you're just
hairy. It's like, no, Dave, you're that hairy all along.
They always have like those nails as well, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, when man touches you.
I don't like it.
When a man touches you, he's like, no, don't do that.
No, I don't like it. No, I feel all funny, Natasha.
I'm sorry.
Right, reports from people who accidentally were poisoned by plants, particularly from the nightshade family, describe thoughts of growing fur, ears or feathers. So this is people that were poisoned, I suppose, by or accidentally and took whatever it was. So others described extreme thirst, impaired vision, a staggered gait, so funny walk, and all were common signs linked with lycanthropy, which is turning into a werewolf. All of those are also symptoms of atrophine, which is present in plants such as henbane, datura, and again, deadly nightshade. So quite common plants around at the time. So I kind of get where a lot of this is coming from. Mix it in with a bit of superstition at the time. It's making perfect sense to me.
Mm.
So several accounts were given where witches were observed morphing into animals on sabbatical flights. But I think it's more than likely they were suffering the effects of a psychoactive plant, and here's why. Now, one account was recorded by Della Porter, and in this story, witches who used the salve slept for hours, unable to be awakened, yet when they came round, they were able to recount actions that had taken place during that period of time, like actual actions that had taken place.
Oh, so you're saying they astral projected?
Sort of, but also they're there, but not there, and I'll kind of... get into that a bit more. So another was that of a Bordeaux witch who slept for 5 hours, and when she woke, she told the doctor correctly several incidents that had occurred around her while she was sleeping, or they thought she was sleeping.
Okay.
Through at that time, this was seen as proof of being a witch, and so all of the above witches were burnt at the stakes for their confessions. Now, I don't believe that these witches were actually flying or morphing into animals or having visions that they should have been able to have. Rather that the witch hunters and those around them were unaware of the effects of the plants and what they would have, mistook the witches to be sleeping when in fact they were unable to move due to the effects of the poisons in the salve. But they were still aware enough that they could account things that had happened around them. Now this would obviously scare the witch hunters that they were able to account stuff in their sleep. And this was enough for them to use it against the witches and even normal citizens as proof of witchcraft. I also think that there could have been links to this and witches' visions, and this is where then spectral evidence would come in sometimes, And obviously the spectral evidence was when the accused claimed to have been haunted or tormented by spectral images of certain members of the community. So I want to put forward that the argument that what if they weren't visions that they were having, but if in fact there was something that they witnessed by a that person witnessed whilst under the influence of a psychoactive plant, they then can't make their presence known at the time because they're of like they can't physically move or whatever the poison was. It's almost like a temporary paralysis, if you like.
Yeah.
And to the people around them, they've given the impression or the appearance that they are asleep, or that they weren't physically visible to the other people in the room. They could then witness acts unbeknownst to those other people. And obviously then they would witness things that they shouldn't have. So when they brought those accusations to light, the accused would flip it and accuse them of witchcraft.
It does sound a little bit like astral projection, but then you have to kind of, that has to be real.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that's what it sounds like.
But yeah, I do get
but
the
then
whole
again,
thing.
Being paralysed and
not
you being
aware
you that person
be able to
is
blink
there.
Or anything, yeah. But imagine if they close their eyes as they were taking a thing, they're there.
Mm.
But if you can still hear stuff, you can't physically communicate it.
Yeah.
And someone comes around and goes, did you know, could you tell this? And you were able to exactly say, well, yeah. They said this and then this happened. To anyone else in the room, especially you've got to go back to the time and like,
yeah.
Shit, how the hell did they yeah. work any of that out?
Mm.
And they're like, they were fast asleep. There's absolutely no way they could have done that. They've obviously gone into their mind, gone into a vision. Because even if they did something, say, like, put up a screen and then did something on the other side, if they can still hear, as far as these people are aware, they've gone into their, like, trance-like sort of state. They shouldn't be able to foresee these things.
Also, because they're, well, maybe some other senses are heightened, so then they're going to kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's a case of, like, they shouldn't have been able to split that, but they can, so it's magic. But then also that's bad, because that means they can see you doing things that we don't want them to see.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's bad, it's witchcraft, we're going to put you on trial.
Okay.
I think that's where a lot of it comes from. And I think, for me, in terms of, especially like the whole flying, there was another case as well, where it brings it back to that, where the guy they were witnessing, obviously, it was another one where they'd put these accused witches in, they gave them the salve, ordered them to take it as part of the thing, like they thought it was poisonous, like it was going to kill them. They ordered them to take it, they obviously don't, they're going to a trance-like state. And there was cases then of they would recount things, and then the actual, some of the witch hunters, they try things, obviously had similar effects of the flying thing, and they were saying, like, once you become a witch, like, it can make you fly, blah, blah, this is what they're doing, they're taking these selves to give them the power to do these things.
Okay.
And obviously, from people on the outside, they don't physically ever see them flying.
Yeah.
But once someone, even on the outside, has had that sensation, and like when you want to look at these later studies, you could, all it takes is one of those witch hunters to say, right, I'm doing this as part of a trial. Yeah, I did go flying in that time. It's no one, if as long as they're able to put it across in a way that's believable, everyone is going to believe them.
Of
they
course.
Are going to go, yeah, they were flying. He goes, yeah, I flew through space and time and all this stuff. Do you see what I mean? I think that's all it takes is one of those people on the outside to have had experienced these things. And if you look at a lot of the accusation, people will say, like, oh, I went to so-and-so for this, and then as a result of that, I ended up consorting with the devil, and I did this and did that. To me, it's a reaction to the poison within the plants they've taken. It might have cured them of their illness, but it has side effects. Like, if you look at medication today,
it does.
It has a side effect.
It does. It's a good theory. Yeah, I like
so
that.
So I think, like I said, I don't think it's a case of they're not physically flying.
No.
I think it's a reaction to whatever it was that they were taking. But then I think, as with so many things, once the story started, it develops, expands, and it gets carried on. And it
and
gets
also,
turned into something else.
The laws of physics applies. No one can fly. If we discovered that in the 16th century, we'd be doing that now.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'd be a very different story, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was the flying part of it. And now I want to touch a little bit on magic potions.
Oh.
So, are magic potions real? The short answer is no.
It's probably, like, placebos and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but also, there's no magic potions, but depending on your definitions of potions, potions do exist.
Medicine.
Yes. Potions exist in the form of medicine, more than likely branded magic in the past because one taste of it could cure an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Not understood by the vast majority in the early modern period, it could be easy to mistake medicine for magic. It was far more likely that at the time the women healers could create said poisons to cure illnesses that the doctors of the church could not. As it was the doctor's job to officially treat people or anyone else, then anyone else who was not officially qualified must have used dark and unnatural ways to create their cures, hence the name magic potions.
Mm-hmm.
The magic potions could also be could be used to create harmful substances in the form of poison. Again, derived from medicine and the knowledge of plants, including poisonous ones, those who knew how could create a deadly potion seen as magic by the general public. Sometimes chants were performed whilst a potion was administered, and this was a common practice in medieval times. So the idea of someone chanting while you drink a potion does have a very magical effect to it.
Mm.
So yeah, so again with the potions, I don't think it's magic like you're brewing it in the way of like how, I mean, to be fair, they could have been made in a cauldron, but I don't think it's how it's depicted to us nowadays, like they're stirring it in a big pot, then they're pouring it in a little bottle, like, and they do this, yeah, and you can make like your love potion or your sleeping beauty potion. I suppose there is a sleeping beauty, but it's more a poisonous plant.
Or sleeping pill.
Yeah. So I think it's very different. It's not magic in the sense there's not a big like colourful cloud coming out of the thing.
I like the idea of like cooking with a cauldron.
Yeah.
I think that's like a green witch, head witch, kitchen witch.
Yes.
So that's how I associate with cauldrons. It's like used for cooking, it's used for substance, it's used for that. Maybe not a potion, or you could argue that a stew could be a potion.
But it is, but I think that's where it started off with. There's obviously, that's what they use as their cooking utensils.
Yes.
They perform magic, then people start adding other things in.
Yep.
And then eventually it twists to things like, that's where they cook children. Yeah. And they're bad and they're evil. They add bad elements to normal good things.
Yeah, because I think a cauldron is usually massive. Mm. You're going to use that to feed the community, aren't you? Because it's so big, it's too much for one person. Yeah. But then kid fell in it one day, therefore she's a witch.
And that's it. But I also imagine it in terms of the big, you're talking about the community. I imagine if you're making medicine as well, you're making big batches.
Yes.
So, and obviously you kind of want to make it all the same. You're not going to do lots of individual little pots. You're going to make
it works.
Yeah. So it's like the old-fashioned conveyor belt of stuff like the churn out. It mass-produced.
Yeah.
It's the old version of that.
Yeah, that's what it is. And she would have been a healer or a medicine woman. Or cunning women.
Yes.
So I think that's all it is. It's just got turned on its head.
And that's it, and flipped. Yeah. So obviously, ultimately, that brings me on to the main question of, are witches real or are they a myth? And the answer are, they are real, as we know, but not as we necessarily know them. So to me, witches have evolved from men and women healers, and their knowledge of the makeup of plants and their ability to heal and harm was far more in depth than that of the doctors and the church at the time of the witch trials starting.
Yes.
Their knowledge didn't go hand in hand with the belief of the church, and so it was frowned upon. Misunderstood, the church and other witch hunters set out to turn these healers into villains, branding them witches, putting fear into people's mind by altering truths into devilish acts. Claiming witches could fly, change into scary animals, and see what you're doing whilst you slept would be enough to send villagers and towns into panic. And this was not normal. Anything that wasn't normal or didn't fall in line with what was expected by the church was bad. So for the most part, those accused of witchcraft were accused because of a personal conflict with someone, not because they actually possessed or practiced magic or witchcraft. Most didn't even identify as a witch. Now for me, the biggest difference between the accused of the witchcraft in the past and those who were labelled a witch today is that those in the past, for the most part, did not identify as witches, and they were not part of any type of underground movement. Now, some people, of course, did practice harmful magic, but the belief about witches' Sabbath and covens were most often in the heads of accusers and did not happen in reality. Now, modern Wiccan and pagan traditions are vast and varied, although they do in part kind of take from older traditions, and most actually emerged during the 20th century, not in the early modern period. So the biggest problem for the early modern period was the fact that science wasn't advanced, And so much of what the accused were accused of, basically, it couldn't be proven in court. Mm-hmm. And that's where that air of magic comes into. And yep. it's only over time, as we've been able to prove or disprove things, that we can be a bit more reasonable
yeah.
about it, if you like. So as far as I'm concerned, witches are real. And he, and basically, they're healers with much more in-depth knowledge than the average person, or especially at that time, mixed with a few who use that knowledge to cause harm that tainted the healers' work, branding them devil worshippers and turning their good work into a crime and something that isn't natural. As science advanced, the images of witches changed. Your trials obviously stopped, and the idea of witchcraft quietened down until it morphed into the modern day witch, which is vastly different from the ancient one. And like I said, I think that's where it goes quiet, sort of the 18th and into the early 19th century. We don't really hear anything of witchcraft, really. No. And like I said, I think that's where it literally dies down, and then someone decides to sort of bring it back, if you like, in these
maybe
under...
not dies down. I think it's a little more...
underground.
Yeah. I think it's probably, like, family traditions, and it's, like, it's more secret, it's more hidden, because, like, look what happens if it gets out.
Yeah. And that's it. And then I think those people finally maybe got a bit of confidence. Everything, bad stuff isn't happening anymore. People aren't being imprisoned. I think then people are confident enough. I think it still stays very underground, sort of, but these covens are able to recruit new people and share mm-hmm. their work again, and yes. then it starts to take off.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really like that idea, because obviously you think of 20th century as being ages ago, but it really isn't. But I think that ties in quite nicely with what you'll be touching on next week with the modern witchcraft. So I didn't want to touch on any of that, because I know you're going to do an episode for us for next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you're going to look at the modern day witchcraft, which is obviously very different from yes. how it was in the early modern period.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it kind of not explains away some of it. Like I said, I do like the art. We like the magic, don't we, of witches flying and the brewing big potions. But I think you have to look at the
but now
reality
you know.
Of it. Yeah.
Now you know it was a wooden dildo.
Yeah. And a load of plants cooking in a pot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Effectively, I know it does take, it kind of takes away the magical air.
I don't think
it does.
But it
doesn't mean that witches are real.
Because it still applies to the way I view witches.
Yeah.
So it's not taken.
Healers.
Yeah, it's not taken away anything from me.
But yeah, I think some people they like to keep that air of magic. They don't know
yeah.
they're
oh,
a magical
I do,
being.
I touch on this a little bit in next week, but like, it's all about like manifestations and stuff.
Yeah.
You could view that as witchcraft.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't prove that's happening, but you believe it so much that you think you're making it happen.
It becomes a kind of mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's mostly what it is.
Yeah. And I think that's where they've been able to tap into that, mixed with herbs and things. Because you think a lot of these herbs, or even the poisons, they can induce certain types of things. So they can give a person the idea that whatever has happened, like, I don't know, say they've said they're going to cast this spell or this curse, they mm-hmm. then give them whatever salve.
Mm-hmm.
It then induces those sort of thoughts into that person's head. It doesn't mean it's physically happened.
No.
But it's enough for that person, in that person's head, for it to become a real thing.
Yeah, it's a placebo.
Yeah. And like I said, I do like where it's come from. It is, you can date these witches all the way back to ancient times.
Early times, at least when humans first existed.
And that's it. And like I said, for us, where witchcraft became a problem was when these healers, they obviously carried on their research and continued to do it. And I think when we sort of, like I said, we got into the early sort of AD sort of thing,
it's the religious.
They didn't look, they lost the healing and forgot. And then we started to add doctors in, and they have to go back. But because they're going back, they're so behind where the healers are.
But you can also argue Jesus was a witch. He turned water into wine.
Yeah.
They have magical elements in the Bible, but they see it
as... look at God. He's supposed to have created a whole planet in 7 fucking days.
They see it as miracles rather than magic.
Yeah.
But you just apply that logic to the people you're accusing of witchcraft, and then therefore you cannot burn these people.
Yeah. But where for them, they're taking it from a book, aren't they?
Yes,
they're going, it follows this book, this is real. In terms of the magic, it's yes, it's the miracle and the magic is the same. The difference is with the witchcraft, they can't explain it because they're knowledge is not in depth enough, so therefore because they can't explain it, it's bad. And then that's where the trials start, and it is all to do with the church and how the court and it literally is a case of their doctors within their church, their understanding is just nowhere near as advanced as the natural healers, and they don't like it effectively. And like I said, it leaves them feeling behind, but they can't admit that they're not as advanced as these other people, because technically these women healers, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they are far more qualified. But in the eyes of a doctor, you imagine someone that's gone and done all the reading, they see witches as, or healers as not even having a qualification. So how can they practice these things if they don't have a qualification? They're like, they're not like me. They've not read all the books. They've not done this. They've not done that. And in reality, they have read books. They've read books of their ancestors. Yep. And or a lot of it they've passed down orally throughout the years. They physically practice these things. It's not like you go into school, you learn a certain amount. And also,
the ones that are accusing are women, not necessarily allowed into schools at that time.
Yeah.
So where did they learn all this? The devil.
Yeah. It must be bad.
Yeah. No.
And that's it. Like I said, hopefully people have enjoyed this episode. I really liked this one. I really like looking into the sciencey side of things and kind of explaining it. I got onto this bit because a big thing for me for getting the inspiration for the witch trials was when I did my dragon episode, because it touched a little bit on the witchcraft. And then I was reading a book about poisons at the same time, and I was like, this is really interesting. I was like, it really sparked a thing for witchcraft because I really like looking at the sciencey side. It's not like I want to debunk everything. It's not a case of
you just want to understand it more.
I want to be able to explain it. And to me, like, I think this does perfectly explain it, and I don't think it takes everything away from it. I think you can still have, like you said, you can still have that magical air. It's just you found a way of explaining it. Rather than it being not being able to explain it and therefore it being a bad thing, we're now able to explain it in a way that it could be a good thing, I think. It's hopefully that's what I've put across anyway.
I think you have.
But yeah. So hopefully everyone will look forward to, we've got two more individual cases this week, so we'll have a free one that will drop tomorrow, and then another Patreon one on Friday. And then next Wednesday, that will be a Patreon, and that's when you'll touch on our modern day witchcraft. Yes. So hopefully you want to join us for those.
And thank you for listening. Yeah. Thank you for being our Patreons.
Yes, we very much appreciate that.
We do very much.
Yes, we needed that. It's made a nice change. It's a bit different, isn't it? This is what we want to do. We hoped for us, this is going to be a big turning point. So if you know anyone else...
We do have some ideas for the future that we were discussing this morning that we both seem very into and very excited. Yes. It's a little bit different, but it involves us both, and we are doing something similar, but we're going to work on some details more before we tell you.
Yeah, because we're still, this witch trials is a massive undertaking. Yeah. So we didn't want to bombard everyone with too many things. So,
but yeah, every one of you, we thank you.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you know anyone else that you think might be interested in this, just pass it on. We'd be incredibly grateful. And again, even your ratings and your reviews, that massively helps us out.
Yeah, on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you listen, not just on Patreon.
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah, and even if there's a post, if you liked a particular episode and you're following us on Instagram, we are on Facebook now as well. But I noticed we get a much bigger following on Instagram. If there's a particular episode that you've really enjoyed, if you just want to drop something into the comments there, that really helps us out. Especially going forward with the new episodes as well, because it lets us know whether we're going in the right direction or if you want us to change something. Obviously, in terms of the episodes we've already recorded, there's not much we can do about that. But going forward and when we look into new seasons that we're going to do, we can take all that information on board.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, thank you for joining us. In the meantime,
keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.